On July 1st, hundreds of protesters stormed Hong Kong's parliament. It was the culmination of months of protest over a controversial decision by Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, to make amendments to an extradition bill. The initial proposal would have allowed the extradition of criminal suspects to mainland China to face trial, including foreign nationals. Millions have taken to the streets in recent weeks, even though Chief Executive Lam has shelved the proposal and even apologized in public. To understand more about what's going on, I spoke with Dr. Joseph Cheng the day after Parliament was stormed. Dr. Cheng is a retired political science professor and currently the convener of Hong Kong's pro-democracy coalition known as the Alliance for True Democracy. We spoke over Skype and started by talking about whether the attack on Parliament was supported by the majority of protesters.
Well, the young people certainly believed that they had to do something. They had to do something more drastic, and they indicated that they were willing to sacrifice. On the other hand, everybody understands that only the peaceful approach can attract the majority support among Hong Kong people. Hong Kong people tend to shun violence, and the emergence of violence will certainly fail to attract the majority support of Hong Kong people.
So if these amendments go through, are people afraid that this will further undermine Hong Kong's autonomy, or are they more concerned about the human rights issue and sending people to mainland China to stand trial?
On the surface, people in Hong Kong were very, very worried that the implementation of the amendment would allow the mainland Chinese authorities to extradite Hong Kong people for their crimes inside mainland China and outside mainland China to face trial in the mainland. And Hong Kong people certainly do not have confidence in the judiciary in mainland China, which is very much led by the Communist Party of China. At the more deeper level, Hong Kong people feel that there is no more respect for the one country, two systems model that the Carrie Lam administration has been too eager to toe the Beijing line, and it has not been willing to stand up or to fight for Hong Kong people's interests.
Well, you mentioned that Carrie Lam is very close with the Chinese government, or there's the feeling that she's very close with the Chinese government. But one of the protesters' demands is that she step down. Now, presumably, if she were to do that, then Beijing loyalists would then install somebody new who might be even more in line with Beijing. So is that really a good demand on the protesters' part, that the chief executive step down?
The arguments have indeed been put forward that a replacement for Carrie Lam actually will still toe the Beijing line, will still be nominated and selected by Beijing, and therefore the new chief executive will not be too different. But then Hong Kong people would like to raise the democratization issue again. They are now asking for political reforms exactly because they realize the likelihood of such a scenario. At the same time, there is also the issue of political accountability. That is to say, whether or not we are going to get a better chief executive, the incumbent chief executive has to be accountable for her mistakes, for her neglect of Hong Kong people's demands.
Now, I'd like to go back a little bit to the issue of sending people to mainland China to face trial if they're criminal suspects. Could you give us an idea of what the current relationship is between the two judicial systems? Are they completely independent of each other right now?
They are completely independent of each other. And certainly, this is one important firewall, so to speak, that Hong Kong people would like to see maintained. An independent judicial system is seen as essential, not only by ordinary people, by supporters for the pro-democracy movement, but also by the business community as well. The business community is quite worried of having to face trial in mainland China because as one can easily understand, doing business in China may involve practices like bribery, tax evasion, and so on. And in fact, the business community, including the expatriate business community, is very worried, and it has articulated reservations against this amendment of the bill.
And what repercussions do you think activists could stand to face if you guys lose this battle?
We expect massive arrests and prosecutions in the near future. In the past decades, the Chinese leadership had been very worried and at the same time trying to learn the lessons from the fall of the Berlin Wall, the color revolutions, the Arab Spring, and so on. And one of the important lessons drawn was that they should act against the sources of troubles right in the beginning.
So you're the convener of the political coalition True Democracy Alliance. Now, given what's going on with the protests right now, are you not at all afraid what might happen to you giving interviews like this one? Or you recently contributed to the Hong Kong podcast, Letters to Hong Kong, talking about the protests. So are you not afraid at all for your own personal safety?
There is a certain concern. I personally am willing to bear the cost, to face the sacrifices, so to speak. But to be honest, all the time I'm very worried about the impact on my two grown-up children who are working in Hong Kong and who sometimes have to go to mainland China.
Have they ever experienced anything to cause you concern?
So far, no, fortunately.